This week's interview is the first in a series that will take us through the calendar year, focusing on American holidays. Our guests for all of these programs will be Matthew Dennis, professor of history at the University of Oregon, and the author of Red, White, and Blue Letter Days, An American Calendar, published by Cornell University Press. In the future, we'll be looking at President's Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, and Thanksgiving. But this week, we celebrate Martin Luther King Day, the youngest of American public holidays. Welcome, Matthew.
Good to be with you, Brian. Right.
Many Americans dismiss public holidays as merely opportunities to take a day off from work, to relax, or maybe get together with family for dinner or a cookout. But it's clear from your book that you find them important to the United States as a nation and really to us as a people. Why is that?
Well, first, there's nothing wrong with a day off. And of course, you know, a great part of our calendar is the weekend that Americans fought hard to carve out and find a little bit of leisure. And so that celebration of leisure is important. But I'm particularly interested in the ways that holidays set aside time, not just for leisure, but for reflection, historical reflection, as well as some cultural and political work. They stimulate us to think about American identity and history. And holidays are key moments. When we think about history, we form a kind of popular historical consciousness about who we are, how we became who we are. And there are times when Americans reinforce their values, there are opportunities for pointing out when Americans have failed to realize those values and to critique American society and to push for reform.
Now, this is particularly important, as you mentioned in your book, because we're such a diverse people. Does that make us different in that regard to other countries that have holidays?
Well, I think what we do is we try to, you know, work through our diversity. And some of those holidays, what they're really trying to do is bring those diverse elements together. You know, the American civic holidays are very much about nationalism, but what that will be is complicated. There's other parts of the world that struggle with some of the same issues, and I wouldn't want to try to make the case for American exceptionalism. But what I've focused on in my work is very much how it is that Americans have tried to understand who they were, and it often was, as an exceptional people. Whether that's true or not, I think, is a different issue.
Okay. You mentioned American civic holidays, and you write about the creation of an American civic calendar. What is that? Where do I get a copy?
Yeah. Well, we live it all the time, and it's been growing since the very beginning of the national history. You know, we start out in American history with two key holidays, the 4th of July, Independence Day, and Washington's birthday, which were symmetrically placed in the calendar in the second and seventh months, and were really about the ways that Americans were commemorating or even celebrating themselves into existence. And for the first several decades, those were the only holidays, really national holidays, civic holidays that were in our calendar. But in the second half of the 19th century, we see the emergence of two more that have real national significance. The emergence of Thanksgiving, which grew from kind of localized festival into a national one, officially a national holiday by the 1860s when Abraham Lincoln proclaimed it. And then Memorial Day, which came after the Civil War and was an American attempt to make sense of that really devastating conflict. But then by the end of the 19th century, we see things getting even more complicated and diverse as America itself was getting more complicated and diverse and, you know, chaotic and troubling to some. We see the emergence of a Labor Day, of a Columbus Day, and Lincoln's birthday. And so the calendar became more crowded and conflicted, less symmetrical. In a way, it became denser with all those additional days, but in other ways, it became lighter because we see that not all those holidays were celebrated equally with the same fervor in different places across the country. And they began to assume increasingly a more recreational kind of content. They became commercialized and, again, kind of more cacophonous, you know, approach to American celebration.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about all of those over the course of the next year. But let's talk about Martin Luther King Day, because that's the baby of the crowd here, the most recent. Now, King was assassinated April 4th, 1968, and 15 years later, in 1983, President Ronald Reagan signed into law a measure that made the third Monday in January a national holiday in King's honor. Now, that's the short story. Take us back to the time that he was assassinated and remind us how King was viewed at the time of his assassination and maybe what effect his murder had on his reputation.
When Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, it was, you know, a national crisis, and the country was thrown into a state of despair and fear and anger and violence. And there were riots in hundreds of cities across the country. 46 deaths were reported nationally, over 27,000 arrests. So some Americans immediately saw King, his life, and what he symbolized as a potential solution to some of the broader turmoil most immediately felt then and more broadly in American society. And so the symbolism of King almost immediately kind of inspired people to advocate at least a holiday in his honor. Ironically, at the time of his assassination, King was a figure in a way in decline. Not that he was declining in what he was trying to do, but his reputation had declined a bit from maybe his highest moment when he got the Nobel Peace Prize. In a poll, a Gallup poll in 1967, the year before his assassination, he didn't even make the Gallup poll's list of 10 most popular Americans. And he was increasingly a controversial figure. He was grappling with more difficult issues. Once he was assassinated, it was a shock to the American system. And we see this kind of spontaneous vernacular commemoration of King emerging immediately, and that would ultimately grow over a fairly quick period into an official holiday, emerging for the first time in 1986, after legislation was signed by Reagan in 1983.
Okay, but it wasn't that smooth, was it? You write in your book that there was some opposition, and this may have made him a hero, and it may have been intended to bring calm to the nation, a very divided nation. But there was opposition. Where was that opposition and why?
Well, absolutely there was opposition. And one of the things about American holidays, and they're part of tradition, tradition is not supposed to have any origin. It just always is. But when you create something, when you invent a tradition, there's a transparency to it. And so all these difficult issues have to be resolved, and they're still being resolved with regard to King and this day. There were plenty around who still were really bucking the sorts of things he was advocating. He was a figure not universally loved by those who were resisting civil rights, for example, or his efforts to fight the Vietnam War or to advocate for poor people in the United States. There was immediate opposition. It usually took two forms, and they actually overlapped somewhat. One was that to throw another paid holiday into the calendar was economically imprudent. And the second was that while we could celebrate his causes, he himself somehow was not of a reasonable stature to have his own holiday. He wasn't a Washington or a Lincoln, say. So these could work together in some ways to try to resist this push towards a new national holiday.
Okay, but the resistance failed and the movement succeeded. We had a holiday. And you write, and I found this very interesting, that although many people think 15 years is a long time to create the holiday, when you look at it historically, it really was a fast track. So maybe you better explain that a bit.
Well, you know, it was a whirlwind. Martin Luther King Jr.'s public career was only, you know, if you calculate it, really, it was only about 13 years. And in just over that amount of time, we see a holiday emerge in his honor. A holiday, say like Thanksgiving, was a kind of vernacular festival that emerged over a long period of time and took a long time to place itself into the kind of the heart of the American calendar and the American people. People say history's accelerated in the 20th and 21st century, and it seems like the case. I mean, the turmoil and the tumult of the 1960s and all that entails had a really revolutionary impact on American society. And so, you know, King symbolized much of that, represented much of that. So if we look at the beginning, there was a grassroots effort to create the King holiday. In many ways, then, politicians, some of whom were quite sincere in trying to promote Martin Luther King Jr. Day, others would have seen this as a trend worth getting in front of. So for various reasons, then, it emerged pretty quickly, first at the state level and then nationally. And King, once he was enshrined in that holiday, then could become a malleable figure, especially since his death, when he couldn't contradict, you know, the causes with which he was being associated, made him a kind of potent resource, even for those who didn't support him during his life and who would seem to contradict some of the things that are more kind of plausibly predicted that he would have done if he had lived longer.
The speed with which this came about, let me just dwell on that a minute longer. Would this have affected what you write about and others have noticed, that we know what Independence Day is about. We know what Thanksgiving is supposed to represent. People aren't so clear about Martin Luther King Day.
Right. That's true. And what we see is a kind of competing notions. For a holiday to work, I think, in American cultural life, it has to have a kind of universal appeal. It has to represent some kind of a national goal. Yet it also has to have a kind of particularism. It has to have a kind of constituency if it's going to be vital. And so with regard to King, we see him universally represent equality and civil rights. But he's also an exemplary African-American. And so he represents a hero to Black Americans in particular. He's an American, but he's also an African-American. And there can be a strain between those two things. Is it an American holiday? Is it an African-American holiday? And many advocates of the holiday would say, well, absolutely, it's both. But in some cases, there's a strain between those two things.
Okay. Well, we only have a minute left, but does that relate to why you write in your book calling it the King Day a protean public festival or a work in progress?
It's definitely a work in progress, as all holidays are, but it's not clear yet where that will go. In some ways, the sign of its real arrival, its establishment, is its commercialization, or people, you know, almost deciding that it's not controversial. On the other hand, the ongoing controversy associated with it will give it meaning and push people to really articulate what King was about and why he's an important American hero.
I think that's right. Well put. Okay, well, we'll end it there, but thank you, Matt, for joining us.
It's good to talk to you, Brian.
Okay. We look forward to speaking to you sometime soon in February, I guess, about President's Day.
Great.
You've been listening to Matthew Dennis, professor of history at the University of Oregon and the author of Red, White, and Blue Letter Days, An American Calendar, published by Cornell University Press. This is Talking History.